Some questions?
In one of the lectures, Srila Shridhar Maharaj says that sometimes when the enemies that captivated you, like lust, anger, etc., become less attentive, try to use those moments and to run towards Krishna. So is there any fast way to surrender? Means while they are less attentive?
Well, we think of when, in the introduction, Srimad Bhagavatam, the second canto, where Sukadev Goswami, at the very end of the first canto, came upon the scene. And we know, in essence, that Parikshit Maharaj was cursed to die within 7 days. He went to what they call Sukartal, the banks of the Jamuna, to fast until death. And the great sages and experts in all the different schools of thought assembled there. And they proceeded to give advice to Parikshit Maharaj what he should do. And some of the slokas we hear in that section, like that Burini Buri Karmani Shrota Vyani Vibhagasa Atak Sarota Yatsaram Samudrita Manishaya Ruhi Badraya Badram. But that there are many different things that one can do. These sages, just like when we have friends, they give some friendly advice. Maybe we're suffering from some illness. People, on the basis of their experience, they give advice. Sometimes if they're suffering for the same thing or something very similar, they think the advice is more pertinent. So all the experts of the different schools of thought, of religious thought, are assembled there. And on the basis of their dealing with the mundane, they're advising what helped them make progress or overcome mundane influence. But it's varied what their advice and recommendation is. Just like Gurudev would sometimes joke that, I don't know if it's a Bengali saying or not, but he would say that, you should follow the advice of old men because they have experience, but not when it comes to food. So then you should not, because there's so many things they can't eat because of their condition. So if they're giving their advice, it's based on a situation that's not like yours. So he would joke, say, listen to them, but not when it comes to their advice about what to eat. So they're all giving this different advice. Parikshit Maharaj is listening carefully, some recommending dhyan, yoga, dan, tapa, tapasya, giving in charity, yoga, meditation, gyan, the cultivation of knowledge, sacrifice, penance. And Parikshit Maharaj says, I have 7 days in hand. So the sort of advice you're giving me, one could follow that for their whole lifetime. It may take a lifetime to realize the benefits of your suggestion. So my humble plea to all of you is you'll all get together and present to me your consensus. Get together and come up with one, unified, uniform, unanimous verdict as to how I should proceed, bearing in mind that I've got 7 days. And it's around that time that, you know, there's some movement coming near this assembly, and there are children calling ill names and pelting this apparent madman who's moving in their midst. But that person is Sukadeva Goswami. He's perceived by ordinary people to be crazy. Pagal. Right? We hear in Bhagavad Gita, Yani Sha Sarvabhutanam Pashme Jagrati Samyami. What is night for one is day for another, and vice versa. Sometimes Guru Maharaj would say, what is expressed by Einstein, that's like madness to another section of people. Or we see they write all these, what are they called in physics? What they write on the board, formula? Equation. Okay. What do you say they call it in the Lekha?
Equation, formula.
Okay, just checking. So, but it looks, I mean, if you don't understand all of that, people think, these guys are a bunch of madmen. Stephen Hawking, this person, that person. What they think about or what they express, for most people, we could say it's a type of madness. And the inverse may be true. They're not so much interested in the discussion of the people in general. But this is given by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita to talk about the spiritual project versus any other project. And he's mentioning, really, those who are seeing properly, have darshan. Darshan really means philosophy. I mean, it has many meanings, like most Sanskrit words. We know the conventional, to seeing or be seen, the darshan of the deity, this kind of thing. But it means a way of seeing, a perspective, actually. So you have Gaudiya darshan. What's the Gaudiya way of seeing things? Like our friend Nietzsche says, there are no facts, there are only interpretation. There's only darshan. We can now, because of technology, the internet, Google, Wikipedia, all these things, we all have access to the same information. Previously, only, you know, highly educated, secondarily educated people, highly educated people, or some sort of elite would be privy to certain knowledge. Now, more or less, we can say, everybody has access to the same information, data, information. It's a little different than knowledge or wisdom. Still, it's available. But what is unique is interpretation. How to interpret all of this? That's why people argue in favor of the theistic, in favor of theism, others in favor of atheism. Bertrand Russell, who really was an atheist but very clever, he realized that strictly speaking, either position is not ultimately defensible. In other words, you cannot prove the existence of God, you cannot disprove. So he cleverly positioned himself as an agnostic. It's a strategy. So when you present your case for God, he said, that's very compelling what you say, but I don't know. And then you say, you present a compelling case against the existence of God, very, but I can't say for sure. Right? It's similar to karma-vad. Krishna playfully, think about it, as a child, he's discussing, in a nutshell, all these different philosophical systems with Nanda Maharaj and the cowherd men, who are not known philosophers. They're not pundits. They're not Brahmins. They're not Kshatriyas. They're cowmen, cowboys. and cowgirls. And Krishna's as a, what, five-year-old, six-year-old, defeating these philosophies, one of which is Karmavad. And what does Karmavad say? It's similar to, like, pragmatist. They say, whether there's a God or not, we can't say for sure. Right? We're humble folk. But we do know the difference between right and wrong. So we do what's right. And if there is a God, we're doing the right thing. If there isn't a God, we're doing the right thing. Aren't we nice people? Don't you want to join our group? We'll give you a vote. You can be a voting member of our group on what is right and wrong. Come on, we all know what it is. Whether there's a God or not, we don't really know. No one's seen him or her. So, in this way, they very matter-of-factly eliminate the importance of God or God altogether and exalt work as being the highest thing. Right? Karma is with Giriraj Swami of ISKCON. Many years ago, he invited me to accompany him in some preaching in Jamaica. I was on a traveling preaching party in Miami at the time. So it's a flight away. Sounds exciting. Let's go preach in Jamaica. You know. And when we were there, of course, we're preaching to Indians mainly, not Jamaicans. We did not meet Bob Marley. We didn't have reggae kirtan. But still, we were in Jamaica, mainly talking to Indians. And the host gave us, like, his son's room. We're staying in there. And there's this classic poster, Bridge Basi print from India's. Like, there's the chariot. It's Krishna and Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. And Arjuna's like this, and Krishna's like that, and there are many variations of this picture, but, you know. And I should preface this by saying that the father, he detected some reluctance in his son to take up the family business. Son was not so inclined to work in that business and inherit that. And father was pushing him to do that. So his father had put that poster on the wall. Krishna and Arjuna's loss of, not really loss of courage, but his bewilderment, his confusion about what he should do. You know what I'm saying? Like my son, he's confused. And the one time the father pointed, because Lord's telling, get a job. You see Arjuna like this and Krishna going like that. And he's saying, Lord, he's thinking karma yoga. The Lord is telling, get, like I can see telling Arjuna, do your job, get a job. You're a kshatriya, you have to, you know. I thought, I haven't heard that interpretation like that. We have a different way. Our Gurudev has told us, Bhagavad Gita really goes toward devotional plane. You know, but you can see everyone have some slant on what it should be. They all have a slant on what they're telling Parikshit Maharaj. And at that time, appearing like a madman, Sukadeva Goswami, 16 years old, naked, arrives upon the scene. And much to the surprise of those taunting children, when he enters that scene, we're told these sages, they're expert in the art of physiognomy. And there's a few beautiful verses there, verses describing the beauty of Sukadeva Goswami. Gurudev showed me once a word or two in there that he pulled from there and used in some of the slokas glorifying Srila Guru Maharaj. But one of the slokas, it sounds like Krishna is being described. He looks so beautiful. So they could see by his physique even, like we can tell things, but they could tell, read something deeper there. And they could understand who he was. And this was the legendary Sukadev Goswami. Legendary in that he was liberated within the womb of his mother. Son of Beda Vyas. And they elevate him to the presidential seat. Why? And this is all, you know, scripted. Right? You can say Yoga Maya Baladev and, you know, higher power to, in Guru Maharaj's words, to make Sukadev the loudspeaker. There are already so many exalted personalities assembled there. But they were all under the influence of the mundane, and they're recommending how to overcome that. What was helpful to them. But Sukadev's position is unique in that he's never been under the influence of the mundane. Right? And by way of introduction, it says, Parinishtitopi, Nargunye Uttama Shloka Lilaya, Grihita Cheta Rajar Se Akyanam Yadaditavan. And I'm known to have, you know, started out in the Nirguna plane. It's never under Saguna influence, not Sattva, Raja, or Tama, or any combination of the three. He's already situated in the Nirguna plane, means without quality, but without mundane qualities. That's the periphery of the Nirguna plane. But then he says, Uttama Shloka Lilaya. But then I heard this type of song, poetry, speech, Shabda Brahma, divine spiritual sound vibration, expressing Krishna conception. And not in some general vague sense like Brahma, not in a Paramatma, yogic, dhyan, meditative type way. But the Uttama Shloka Lilaya he's referring to means Krishna's pastimes with Srimati Radharani and the Braja Gopis. And he said, and I was transported to another world that I didn't know existed previously. That means deep into the Nirguna plane. As Guru Maharaj would say, dive deep into reality. There's the outskirts of reality and deep into reality. Reality, the beautiful, personal, charming, loving, sweet, affectionate. That Krishna who is not alone, not like Vasudeva Sarvamiti, but in the company of his potency, his Shakti, Shaktiman Shakti, Lakshmi Narayan, Sitaram, Rukmini and Dwarkanath, and Radha and Krishna. He said, I was, my consciousness, the heart's deep core consciousness, carried away to another plane I didn't know existed previously. And why this is significant, it's a being situated in the Nirguna plane. Sukadeva Goswami didn't have trace amounts of mundane erotic tendency in him, as evidenced by the pastime when he's leaving home and Vyasadeva is following after him. He goes by the bathing Dibya Devis and they're bathing naked and looking at Sukadeva. They don't bother to cover themselves. But when Veda Vyas comes, and inquires them, they are covering themselves. And he's asking why. And they're saying, because in that boy, we don't detect even a trace amount of tinge of sense enjoyment or mundane erotic tendency. So that such a person hearing about the erotic pastimes of divinity would be irresistibly drawn in attraction by that and carried away to another plane as a way of verifying, certifying, indicating that they're beyond the affairs of mundane men and women. Vikriditam brajabhidu viridam ca vishnu shradhanvito anushvinaya datavarnayedyap. Why Vishnu is mentioned there. It's the pastimes of Krishna. Krishna, Radharani, Brajagopis. Why here they're telling Vishnu? Because to disallow us to think of Krishna as an ordinary man. Here, sometimes Vishnu means God. Not literally Vishnu. Here it means divinity. These are God's pastimes. And the highest type of pastimes of God or divinity are human-like. Krishnera jateka kela sarvatam naralila naravapu tahara swarup gopavesh venu kar navakishor natabar naralila hoy anurup. The human-like pastimes of Krishna are the template for human civilization, actually. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna reveals the Virat Rupa, the universal form, to Arjuna. And Arjuna is somewhat frightened by this sort of manifestation. You can say it's adbhuta, wonder or astonishment, but put it to the point of a little scary. Then he's saying, this, what you're showing to me now, and what is Arjuna's reaction to that? He started apologizing for past familiar behavior, which we find out in Charitamritam. Krishna likes when his devotees treat him in a familiar way, or even as a subordinate. That's extraordinary. I remember hearing Srila Prabhupada say years ago, saying, though the Mayavani is talking about becoming equal with God, when he's talking about Mother Yashoda. He said, but the devotee becomes greater than God. That's even sweeter. Greater than God. Gopyadade, Toikritaga Siddhamatava, Yate Dushashu, Kalilanjana Sambramaksham. That Yashoda's chasing and Krishna's running. Yad bibeti swayam bhayam. Whose fear personified is afraid of, is running in fear from his mother, tears coming down, causing the kajal mascara on his eyes to really make his lotus face appear even more beautiful as far as Queen Kunti is concerned. She's saying, this sight is bewildering, but irresistibly charming and mind-blowing to think of what's going on here. The Lord in that position. The infinite has come under the control of the finite. Right? The infinite's running from the finite, and the finite can catch the infinite. That is extraordinary Krishna consciousness. Sukadeva Goswami saying, hearing these things, this captured me, heart and soul, my soul, heart, imagination. If it were some mundane subject matter, he has no interest in those things. He's already certified as 100% pure. So it can't be that. This is the pivotal point, important point for us. Then they must be, to use the cliche, categorically different. Right? Nirguna doesn't mean without any qualities, means without mundane qualities. Right? Beauty, Beauty is but a flower, wrinkles will devour, brightness falls from the air, queens have died, both young and fair. Like that. Beauty is but a flower, wrinkles will devour. All the beautiful flowers within days, they all, within one day, sometimes here, they just drink the most beautiful flower a few hours ago, now. Beauty is but a flower, wrinkles will devour. Brightness falls from the air, queens have died, both young and fair. Anityam asukam lokam, temporary, miserable existence. It could not be a story about the temporary material existence that so captured Nirguna situated Sukadeva Goswami. And it's interesting that this is what he says by way of introduction to let us know who he is before he's going to tell us so many other things. First, told Purikat Maharaj, your question is very good. It's the best question. It's the question. He goes, yes, what is the duty of one in life specifically for one who is about to die? He's saying, this is the question. Other questions are irrelevant. Right? What's the price of this, the price of that, how much of this? Not these type of questions. You're asking, what do you say? That is, Shreyas and Preya. What's Preyas? Immediately, locally, relatively, temporarily beneficial, and Shreya, Shreya Uttamam. Shabde Pure Chanishnaktam Brahman Upasamasrayam. Tasmad Gurum Purpadyeta Jigyasu Shreya Uttamam. When you come in connection with Guru, you should ask the Jigyasu Shreya Uttamam. A question about what's ultimately beneficial for me, the ultimate goal, that means the ultimate reality. So Sukadev's happy to hear the question, and then he introduces himself as such, and to address the issue of time, he mentions the story of Katvanga Maharaj, who fought for the devatas, demigods, and they fight devas, asuras, and in gratitude to his service, they offered him any type of boon, benediction you want, saying, could be an extensive life or heavenly enjoyment. And he said, I'd like to know how much time I have to live. And they're saying, like a moment. You've got one moment left in your life. A few moments. And he thought, I asked the right question. Everything else would have been superficial. So he's given as the example of someone who perfected himself in a moment. Why? Because as Srila Prabhupada liked to use the expression, he realized the urgency of Krishna consciousness. That's what is required. The urgency. Urgency, necessity, lolyam, hankering, earnestness. What is Shankara saying in one place? How should we address this urgency? What would you do if your hair were on fire? How quickly would you find water? Wouldn't sit there and ask many questions. Somehow or other, you come find water immediately. When Guru Maharaj was preaching in South India, someone told him that he should learn, I forget, Tamil or Telugu, one of these languages, and then come and preach to the people here. And Guru Maharaj said, if a man is drowning, should I go and learn Telugu? He said, no, somehow, by gesture, in some way or another, I will communicate the urgency of this situation. when Srila Saraswati Thakur was preaching in South India, and someone said, "You're sometimes speaking English, Bengali, Sanskrit, other language. If you'll just speak one, then we can understand you." And he said, "I'm not speaking a particular language." He said, "Rather, I'm trying to represent the upper world, the higher reality to you, and whichever language will best serve that purpose, I employ that one at that time." So there's a pragmatic element there. But Sukadeva Goswami told, if you realize the urgency of the situation, it can be done immediately. So Srila Guru Maharaj, as you quote here, he's saying, like, the prisoner notices the lapse in the, what is it, of the jailkeeper, lapse in their, what is it? It's a simple word. Their consciousness. Their what?
Their rounds.
Well, their audience. No, attention. Yeah, I can't think. This is another word. But like their attentiveness. When they notice the jailkeepers not being inattentive, they may try and make a break for it at that time. It's something like that. He's saying, if we realize, whenever we realize there's some opportunity to devote our energy or more energy to the culture of Krishna consciousness, we should take advantage of that. It may not always be there. Like the prayer is that Mukunda Mala Stotram, the Krishna Tadiya Parapang Kajapanjarantam Adeva Vashatim Manasa Raja Hanksa Pranak Prayana Samaye Kapabhatta Pittai Kantavaro Dhanavido Smaranam Kutaste. It's the prayer of King Kulashekar, saying at the time of death, Kapha Pitta Vayu, the imbalance of those three elements, it may be difficult to speak at that time, to chant your holy name. He's saying, so now, while I'm relatively healthy, let me take your name, sing your glories, engage my available energy in your service. There's also the famous prayer of Madhavendra Puri. What is it? Kamadinat katida katida palitat durnideshas. Tesham jata mai na kuruna no tripa no pashanti. He's saying, actually, lust, anger, greed, etc. I've been serving you so nicely, and I never get a holiday. Not even a weekend off. And I've been a faithful servant to lust, anger, and greed, and you never give me a break. But that's the first part of the prayer. The second part, he said, but recently, spiritual intelligence is wakened by the grace of Sadhu Shastra Guru Vaishnava. He's saying, now I'm avoiding you. But the French poet Baudelaire, he has a poem about Kana Kamini Pratishta, only not in those words, in French. But it's very similar. It's an old man, he's lamenting, he's saying, when I was a young man, I renounced, you know, wealth, name and fame, women. And he said, now I must have really insulted them, because now I'm an old man begging for them and they won't give me any attention. When they told Prabhupada someone was maybe contemplating taking sannyas to escape family responsibilities, they thought Prabhupada should be informed about this. And he said, whatever the reason is, it's good. So whenever there's some slackness, opportunity like that. But the saying's also there that God helps those that help themselves. Any other question?
You mentioned this verse, Yad Bibhyati Svayam Bayam, about glorification of holy name. But is it some...
Which was it?
Yad Bibhyati Svayam Bayam.
Oh, yes.
About holy name. Yeah. But is it not very important aspect of holy name? Because Svayam Dvitiyam Binivyashatah, etc. No fear in spiritual...
Yes. It's secondary. But she's... cannot help but note that this is astonishing because Krishna looks so afraid of his mother. So she's just observing that and saying, it's bewildering to see, but bewildering in a delightful way. But you're right, we take it that these are secondary aspects, like... when a drug has some, what are they called? Side effects. They're secondary aspects, side effects of the holy name. It's not the principal concern, which is really, like if we think, these great devotees, we hear taking 1 lakh, 2 lakhs, 3 lakhs of Krishna Nam, do we think they're just chanting some sound? Or is it that they are in this devotional form of expression, engaged in service in a higher plane? We shouldn't think of it and what is observable externally. Is someone sitting and making some sound and counting beads? Right? When Krishna's Babaji Maharaj was chanting 1 lakh of Krishna Nam in a place in, I think, Bangladesh called Bali Ati. Guru Maharaj was in charge of the Delhi center at the time, and he needed some help there. But he thought, well, maybe he's doing the desirable seva in this instance. And if I was taking him away from that to serve here, it might... maybe that's not right, I don't know. I'll ask Prabhupada, Saraswati Thakur. And he wrote him a letter. Saraswati Thakur answered saying, if you can engage him in service in the Delhi Mat, you'll be his real friend. You'll be doing him a favor. He said, because I don't recognize that counting beads, he called it, that counting beads in the jungle of Bali Ati is Krishnanushilana, favorable to the culture of Krishna consciousness in that instance. Whereas, again, so Namacharya Haridas Thakur, other great personalities, they're praised for this. So it must have something to do with the quality of Krishna Nam. Right? So they're not... we know they are not practitioners. Those who are engaged in bhajan proper are not practitioners. But they're, in Guru Maharaj's words, engaged in direct service. So when they're fainted to this plane, to this world, it doesn't mean that they're unconscious. They're fainted to this world on account of being exclusively conscious of the upper world. And the third canto, who is it? Is it Uddhava? And who meets with him? Vidura Maitreya? Yeah. And he's asking him some questions. And Uddhava, he's going to answer, and we're told, he leaves the world. before he enters the upper world for some time. Tears are coming down. Then he comes back to this plane after some time. This is thematically similar to what I was saying in the beginning about Sukadeva Goswami. So, why did we say that? Because your question was?
Because this aspect of holy name, of removing fear, is not so important. Oh.
Yeah, as a side effect.
So, Yogamaya is said to provide all the paraphernalia necessary for the seva. Is she also the source of our inspiration as well?
Of inspiration?
Yes.
Well, yes, we can say, because I told you before, inspiration means influence. So if you look in Charitamritam, Krishna, I don't know if he uses the word yoga maya, but it's similar. I think he does, but he says, she will inspire us, Braja Gopis and Krishna, to this consciousness. This is how we can say, because the consciousness, Aishwarya Gyan, being overly aware or focused on Krishna, on the majestic aspect of Krishna's divinity, will be an impedance to the natural flow of raga bhakti from the heart. So there has to be some forgetfulness of that. It has to be suppressed on some level, that type of thinking. So as a general heading, we can say yoga maya. There may be some subhead departments. But yes, to view Krishna in a particular way, there has to be some type of special inspiration. Anything else?
Narottam Prabhu, Teresa, Loretta Mola, our constant listeners, Sivadanta Vats, and all the devotees also. Watchers. So, there is a question from my side, but I don't know, maybe it's a famous question, but I didn't hear answer yet. So in this verse, Namah Chintamani Krishnas Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha, can we attain the Chaitanya Rasa with Mahaprabhu? And is there some comments about Chaitanya Rasa? This
verse? Yeah, because this is Nama Chintamani, but then you can say Krishna Chaitanya Rasa, Nama Chintamani Krishnas Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. Manasa Krishna told me once, Gurudev spoke about this. I don't know if you heard it or where, but he did. I haven't heard the explanation, but certainly it can be taken in that direction. Any other question? Yes.
Okay. A couple times recently, back in the States, this sort of quote-unquote Dhritarashtra question comes up in our conversations, as we call it. This basically idea of not a blade of grass moves out of the will of Krishna. Everything is happening according to divine will. Everything is ultimately perfect, not seeing this kind of good and bad duality. Everything's happening by his will. But if we look to ourself, you know, oh, I have this anartha, I have affection for Indrodhan, whatever, and so therefore it's his will, and what can I do, and I'll just do it. We all have our own version of this, of course.
Yes.
So how to understand really the
how bogus we are.
Yes,
Maharaj. How we're lying to ourselves. How we're avoiding surrendering. How if we deal with Krishna in that type of way, then how shall we expect him to deal with us? You understand? That we'll have to think about. We're expecting sort of like a minimum investment with a maximum return. Right? Something like we've been conditioned for so long so that we do anything that remotely resembles Krishna consciousness as a plus, and the Lord must be impressed with that. So the finite will sacrifice a very finite part of themselves and claim the infinite as a prize. Anything's possible, but we're told in the general rule, yayatamam prabhadyante tams tataiva bhajamyaham. As we deal with Krishna, he deals with us. So we could just say, just to give some support, if someone, and apparently we do, wants to be like that, and you see what happens. Krishna allows us to be like that. To indulge ourselves in the mundane and pursue Krishna consciousness at the same time. But if there's some growing, developing feeling toward Krishna, then we'll become dissatisfied or disgusted by our own misbehavior. There's hope given in 11th canto. Krishna says, Jata shraddha matkatasu nirvina sarva karmasu veda dugatmakan kaman purityage pyanisvara. Saying, my devotee likes to hear about me, to serve me, praise me in different ways, but still has some affinity for the mundane. But here's the pivotal point. Saying, but they're ashamed of that, embarrassed by that. They are remorseful for such a person who goes on hearing, praising, cultivating, associating, serving. Gradually, that element, the serving aspect, will overwhelm the other. But Srila Guru Maharaj would say, you know, for anything substantial in this world, you have to sacrifice yourself. It requires a large amount of dedication and self-sacrifice for anything that you want to do that is substantial. Then he makes the point. So in this transaction, the infinite and the finite, Krishna and the aspiring devotee, should less sacrifice be required, or equal, or perhaps greater, that the infinite will come under the control of the finite? So, that's, you know, self-deception. It's a lack of sincerity or earnestness. We like to think of ourselves as sincere and earnest, but then we have to be, you know, atma samiksha, through self-analysis, be candid, a candid assessment. Like they talk about those who write, when they have to edit what they've written themselves, the general advice is to ruthlessly edit what you've written, and it will improve. So, I mean, the word ruthless is pretty strong, but at least when we examine ourselves, we have to be candid about what our position is. It's an identifying trait of Srila Guru Maharaj's approach, is this candidness, the honesty about what his own position is, and to try and improve from there, not use acquired prejudice and acquired tendency as an excuse to remain that way. So we come back to his die to live. If you want to go to the next level, you have to die as you are at present. But we're holding out for the some believing that I can remain the way I am and make progress in Krishna consciousness. We don't want to give an inch to give any, again, back to that saying that the prejudices we acquired without thinking, we're racking our brains thinking about whether or not we should give them up. But they were acquired more or less without thought. So if it's a reciprocal thing, then if we're going to have some half-hearted, quarter-hearted, eighth-hearted approach to Krishna, then what shall we expect in return? So, in that sense, we're the cause of our own misfortune. We hear in the pages of the Bhagavatam, yasyaham anugrinami harishe tadanam shanai. But if Krishna favors someone, he takes everything away from them. Nobody likes to hear this. It's not when you say this, all the devotees go, Jai! But it's said like that. So, unless it's Kunti, vipadakshantutakshasva, tatvata, you know, who's inviting adverse circumstances. Why is, we know, she's Kunti Devi. She's extraordinary. That's why these slokas are there from her and this type of devotion. But we're not thinking like that. Maybe we might have tried it once or twice. But we're not generally, now Krishna, take everything away from me. Humiliate me. If you need somebody to walk on, as Guru Maharaj would say, the devotee would say, here's my chest, walk on me. When Achyutananda was left starving by Damodar Maharaj of Gaudiya Math some years ago, there was some miscommunication. Damodar Maharaj went to Calcutta for a few days. Chaitanya was left without a key to the bandar, the storeroom, nothing to eat. After a few days, he came to the mat, told Guru Maharaj and Gurudev, and naturally Gurudev gave him some wonderful prasad. But when Guru Maharaj asked, why didn't you say something? Guru Maharaj and Gurudev told him, you could have come here, you could have said something. They liked very much his answer. Achyutananda said, Krishna is dancing. And when he's dancing, someone being thrown this way, that way, worlds, people are dying. Yeah, Krishna is dancing. In other words, if it was his, it made him happy for me to suffer like this. That's why Guru Maharaj told that for so many years, because it's a only a devotee could express something like that. But remember, mrityu sarva haras chaham, Bhagavad Gita. If in no other way, it's what, if in no other way, at death, everything will be taken away. Better to give it away before that. Tapasya is voluntarily inconveniencing oneself for the sake of spiritual progress. Back to die to live. It's easy to say, but so at least we should have some program to move that way incrementally. Like sometimes Gurudev would say, Krishna has given me so much. That's how he thought. Whatever any good came to him, saying, Krishna's given me so much, I should try and reciprocate that. Because we think sometimes in terms of like 100% surrender, or since I can't surrender 100%, I'm not going to surrender at all. I'm that kind of man. Very honest. That's not being honest. And we should say, all right, 5%, 10, 1, something is better than nothing. I heard Gurudev say that many times in many different contexts. And it comes back time and time again. He's saying, something is better than nothing. And he said, well, that's a cliche. Yes, but why does something achieve cliché status? It means there's some truth in there. Otherwise, it wouldn't have become a cliché. And then I thought about it, and I thought, if ever that cliché was applicable or true, it has to be in relation to Krishna consciousness. Because here's the ultimate something's better than nothing program. But then someone say, well, then I'll use that as an excuse. Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur in one place says, what is required to get an inheritance? The minimum requirement to get an inheritance is to be alive. That's the minimum requirement. So if we stay, for better or for worse, in the association of devotees, that's like you're still alive. And you'll get the inheritance sooner or later. Sooner or later, we're going to want to do something nice for Krishna. That's the, what is it? Martya yadat samasta karma niveditatma bhagavan vikirshitoshi, I forget it, tadamritatvam, that sloka that rises in the heart of the devotee, the desire to do something nice for Krishna. And Gurudev said, what is that? I mean, it doesn't get any simpler than this. Gurudev said, what is it? And he's quoting a sloka, but he said, give Krishna what he wants. I said, well, how shall we know that? Guru, Vaishnav, Sadhu Shastra. I said, give Krishna what he wants. What he's asking for. When someone was at the mat, and gradually it would be known, like, they're not really doing anything. They're not doing any service, any seva. But still, they're coming, and Gurudev would say, if someone pressed him on, he'd say, oh, prasadam seva. That they're doing. So the Vaishnavas are very merciful. Really, they're doing everything. When Srila Guru Maharaj went with his preaching party to Bangladesh, some little town in Bangladesh once, and somehow either the telegram advance didn't arrive. By the time they got there, him with Madhav Maharaj and someone else, no arrangements had been made. And that evening, they have to do the program. Usually, they try to have everything done in advance. Nothing was done. So they had to make some expenditure, make a little stage, and get whatever was required for that, and prasad, this, just everything. And then people came to the program that evening, and they had the kirtan. Guru Maharaj gave the talk, and then they distributed some prasadam. And he said, an old man stood up and turned to everyone and said, "This is Gaudiya Math. They did everything. We didn't do anything. They came here and served nectar on a golden plate." He was appreciating that the whole transaction was mercy. So, having received so much mercy, at what point, what's the tipping point where we fall to our knees and offer ourselves in service? That is what is wanted. We want to make spiritual advancement or progress. But if we will allow ourselves and our energy to be used in service, that will happen as a consequence. That's what the word, I was saying about those other things, consequence of the holy name, but it will come as a consequence. As Guru Maharaj says, kirtanam, particularly preaching, distributing, extending Krishna conception to others is an indispensable necessity for personal development. If we will offer our energy to that sort of transaction, directly or indirectly, the consequence will be an enhanced devotional position. And in line with what was expressed before, lust, anger, greed, etc., Guru Maharaj is quoting the Narottam Thakur song, you know, where he's saying, "Take the name of the Vaishnava, pray to the Vaishnava when we're under attack from these different sorts of mundane influence. We expect it to be there. But if we take the name of Guru and Vaishnav, we can also expect some grace to help us overcome mundane tendencies, acquired tendency, acquired prejudice." So that sloka, Krishna to Uddhava is saying, if there's at least remorse, what you described, there's a lack of remorse in that. This just accepting, "Oh, I'm this way." But better position for the devotee is some remorse, lamenting, at least lamenting that I'm this way. And going on with the something is better than nothing program, continuing hearing about Krishna, praising Krishna when possible, serving and associating with the devotees, then we can be hopeful by grace, divine grace, that we can be made into something useful. Guru Maharaj said, "Without the grace of Sri Guru, we are lifeless clay." So we're offering ourselves to be reconfigured. We shouldn't resist that. We're clinging to false aspects of self, of identity. Really, only servitor identity is real. So, however incrementally we can inch toward that identity, that's best for us and best achieved in service and association of Guru, Saru Shastra, Guru Vaishnava.